Michael, great to see you today. God bless you. It's been a while since we were able to link up, but I always love your music. And these songs you sang today are just incredible. Some of my favorite songs. And actually, they fit the theme of what I want to say today. My birthday was yesterday. And when it gets to be your birthday day time, you start thinking about time. And every year you think about a little bit more, how less time you have left, and you know, that sort of thing. So I was thinking about time yesterday, and in fact, just this, 2 weeks ago, I took a class at our school. It's a master's degree class, and it's on the subject of Pentecostalism in Europe, and the president of our school taught the class, and he traced the time from just before Martin Luther to today, and the Pentecostal roots that took place, you know, and the timing and all the things that influenced all the different nations of Europe, and actually got to Sweden, and our dear friend Petros?
Yeah,
and he pastored a church in Stockholm, and God accidentally baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a Baptist church, and they relieved him of his duties, and that's when the did the Philadelphia church start then? Was that when it started, or was it before?
It was a Baptist church, but then they were excluded, so then
it became that's when the Philadelphia movement started.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure of that because the way it was worded, I didn't know for sure. But anyway, I'm really influenced with time going back 500 years. I'm sorry. Because, you know, in our generation, we don't want to talk about 500 years ago, but the fact is, 500 years ago actually impacts us today, because what I see going on in our world today is we're trying to get back to what we were 500 years ago. The influence of the secular world is trying to force God right out of our life, and I don't like that. I don't know about you. But I think that that's really ridiculous. So yesterday we were eating lunch or eating breakfast, and somebody sent my wife a note, and it was this. God gave you a fingerprint that no one else has, so you can leave an impact that no one else can. And I thought, you know, that is exactly what I want to say tomorrow, because what we were just singing was how God wants to be close to us. God really wants to be close to us. And what was that phobia, Matthew said about fear of not being valued? Is that what it was?
FOMO.
FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
That's an Italian word. What's the matter, FOMO? No, that's for you. What's the matter for you? I'm sorry. That was an attempt at humor, and it didn't work. Anyway, God wants to be close to us. And he gave us a fingerprint. And I don't know if you've noticed your fingerprints lately, but, you know, that's probably part of us we don't really go around looking at. Look at that. You know, look at that. My fingerprint is different than anyone else's on the planet. We don't think in terms of that. But the fact is this, that you are different from anybody else on this planet. And by saying that, we can say that God made us special. And if you've got that phobia, FOMO, you're not special, you're not listening. Because God wants you to know that you are special. He really does. You know, in our world today, a lot of fights going on. And one of them is between the church and science. And this is not the church initiating this. It's somebody else. It's the people that are trying to separate God out of the culture totally. And they're doing a pretty good job. But they're not going to be able to finish their job, because you just can't separate humanity from science, because everything about humanity is scientific. Everything about science is humanity. God created order in the universe. on day one. He created order. He brought order out of chaos. And so now, no matter where you go, no matter what you study, if it has anything related to science, there's some sort of order related to it. Now, in the old days, I liked to study chemistry. I was a chemistry student. I was called into ministry, but I was running from God, and I wanted to be a pharmacist, and so I had to do a whole bunch of college chemistry classes. So I got to the one on qualitative analysis, where you have to have some kind of chemical in this glass jar and find out what's in there. And you know, I actually did it. There are five different groups, and I found all five groups, and I found the specific chemicals that were in. It was a long time ago, so I forgot what they were, but you would, I don't know, do a lot of tests and find out what they were. But all that just to say that in chemistry, aren't you glad that there's some sort of order? So that when you put gasoline in your car, you know what's going to happen when it goes into the engine. You're going to have some chemical reactions. When you put the cleaner on the floor, if you don't put too much, you get the floor clean. You put too much, it'll eat the floor away. I mean, because there's order in the universe. And God has created that kind of order. And within humanity, there is also an order. And God wants to be close to his order. Amen. And so he gave us a fingerprint. So I thought of this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I got to admit to you, this verse is a little bit challenging for me. It's really difficult for me to get my brain around this verse, because it's talking about the future, and it's talking about me in the future, and it's saying that God prepared in advance good works for me to do. And you can put yourself in there as well, because it's not just me, it's you. Because you're unique, you have a fingerprint. And it says that we are God's workmanship. And I might just add something, that we are God's good workmanship. That when you look at humanity, and when humanity comes to Christ and gets involved in divine order, the divine order of God, we can say that God's workmanship is wonderful. Because God has created things for us to do. And they are good things for us. And before we were ever born, God planned out my day, tomorrow afternoon, knowing, it says in Psalm 139, that he knows my thoughts tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon. He knows what I'll be thinking about at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Now, if you ask me what I'll be thinking about tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, you know, I don't have a clue. I really don't. I probably will have just eaten lunch. I'll be thinking about whether it was good or bad. You know, I'll be thinking, oh, that was a bad lunch. You know, I'd be thinking about the pain in my stomach. But what if it's good? I don't know. Oh, that was a good lunch. Man, that was really good. How did you do that? That was awesome. You see, God knows where we're going. And it says here that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And so he's created us for purpose, that we will be involved with him on planet Earth today for his purpose and for his goals for us. And he has good goals for each one of us. Now, also in this book of Ephesians, first couple of chapters are really focused on this same thought, but it says in chapter 1, verse 4, it says that we're chosen in him, that he chose us. So if you're tempted with this phobia that Matt's mentioned, you know, it's that you're not reading the Bible. You need to read the Bible and realize that for it says here, verse 4, it says, For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That he chose us. Again, this is hard for me to fathom. I find it very difficult to think in terms of an infinite God even taking a look at finite me. I just, you know, it's incredible when we think about God choosing us. And God chose you. If you're in this room today, you are chosen of God. He wants you to receive Him. If you haven't received Him yet, He has targeted you. He wants you to receive Him. He wants you to be in Him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have a close fellowship with you. That's our God. We sang about it. We just sang about it. That God wants to be close to us. Secondly, Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. And this is something that we must just thank God for every day. We need to think in terms of, God, thank You that I'm redeemed. Thank You for the redemption through His blood. It says the forgiveness of sins in accordance with His riches in God's grace. And so these are like two different messages in this same verse. We can talk about redemption through His blood, and we can talk about the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And I don't know, I'm really frustrated because I want to talk about both. And they're two different things, but let's plow them together. That God, who is rich in grace, wanted to shower His people with His grace. And He, in fact, did that by redeeming us, by sending a redeemer. Because of the fall, and because God had created out of chaos just this perfect order, and then because of a problem that Adam and Eve had, the perfect order came into a chaotic order, and then a redeemer had to come because there had to be a sacrifice to cover the sins of mankind. And so God sent His Son into the world to redeem mankind. And I'm thankful today that we celebrate, in a few weeks, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He is our Redeemer. He's made it possible for us to get close to God again. God wants to be close to us. And so He sent His Redeemer, Jesus, into the world to redeem us by the power of His blood. And Matt's also mentioned about the fear of God. And, you know, you might want to look up in your Bible, just do a little search about the words, the fear of God, and then attach to that the blessings of the fear of God. And you're going to find some incredible things. In the Bible, there are several hundred, at least 50, maybe more than that, but several hundred references to the fear of God. And when it says, and when we fear God, we'll be blessed, and He gives specific things that we'll be blessed about. And you can't find, I mean, there's just so many areas, so many ways that God wants to bless His people, because when we walk close to Him, we walk in His blessings, and we walk in His grace. It says here, in accordance with the riches of His grace, we walk in His grace, and I'm telling you, we will be blessed. Now, a few years ago, there was this movement in Christianity called prosperity, and I'm just sorry to bring up this controversial word, just really controversial, because there's a lot of preachers around that will say, if you say the word prosperity in some pulpits, you can't say the word. But if you will do another search in your Bible, the word prosperity, you're going to find out that prosperity is actually a biblical word. And it's attached to the grace of God. And that when God's people are filled with His grace, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be successful. He wants to bless you. Oh, man. What are they thinking? What do they want me to be poor? They want me to I don't understand a lot of this stuff, and I'm not quite a theologian. In a couple of years, I'll be a theologian, and I'll maybe be able to understand the things. But it says here that he blesses us in accordance with the riches of his grace. And then thirdly, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, again, this verse contains what? 4 different messages. And so if I was here the next 4 weeks, I could go to this verse and discover 4 different things and spend a half hour or an hour talking about these specialized items. But what I want to focus on is that each one of these verses talks about one thing, and that is in him, in Christ. God wants to be close to us. He wants us to be in him. He wants to be really, really close to us. And as we walk with him, he's going to help us with every facet of our life. No matter what you get into today or what you got into yesterday. Some of you got in trouble yesterday, didn't you? Some of you were in trouble yesterday. And do you know that if you get in trouble, we can call on him because he's close to us, and we can say, God, I need your help. And he is right there with us. He will help us with whatever we get ourselves into. Amen. And I, again, just am sorry to have to report that I get in trouble every once in a while. How many get in trouble every once in a while? You just say something you shouldn't have said. You just get in trouble. God, forgive us and help us, because we're walking in his grace. God, help us, your people, to be in you so we won't get in so much trouble anymore. Amen? And you know, the closer we get to him, the less trouble we get into. We don't have to get in so much in trouble anymore. We can walk with him, and we can be at peace, and we can be filled with his spirit, and we can be motivated by what he has for us. So I was talking about age, and I just want to go through some things with you, because I have a test on this coming Friday. I have a test over the class I took, and so I want to review and get you to this, to where we are today, to 2019. Get from wherever you were in the past, let's get into today, okay? So, what happened? How has the church evolved? What happened in Europe? Because not too long ago, everybody was one religion. You had to be Catholic. And you had to go to church, and you had to do this, and you had to do that. And there weren't any options for you. You were baptized when you were born, or shortly after. And your life was set. You didn't have any options. And then Martin Luther came up with these things and found out there were some errors that had been going on. And so there was the thing called the Reformation 500 years ago. And then shortly after that, the Lutheran Church fell right back into the same. You know, there's something about being human that we kind of get into ruts. And no matter what kind, no matter where, unless we consciously stay close to God, we kind of get off on our own, we get into trouble, and we start building our own traditions, and we get away from what God wants us to be. And so even the Lutheran Church kind of got into their own traditions, and then there had to be a new Luther, what was called the Lutheran Reformation. And during that time was when the Pietists discovered that that we can actually know God in a personal way. And it's not because of what the church is saying, it's because of what the Bible says. And the Bible teaches us that we can be close to God. And at that time, there wasn't anyone that was, not very many people that were really close to God. You couldn't walk in his spirit. You couldn't walk with him. It wasn't a daily thing. It was something that was far off. And so the Pietists actually influenced John Wesley. And John Wesley, on a trip back from the United States, on his first missions trip to Georgia in the United States, accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And the Pietists led him to the Lord. And then John Wesley, the Pietists brought about the possibility of new birth. They brought about sanctification, the whole community life thing that we experience today in our small groups. The Pietists were the ones that caused that, because they read the Bible and discovered that we can be close to God, and He wants to be close to us. And so Wesley influenced, Evan Roberts then was influenced by John Wesley. There was the end of the state religious monopoly in Norway. It was called the Dissension Acts in Norway, 1845, which made it possible for other churches to organize besides the Lutheran Church. So they began to organize, and then there was this influence on Evan Roberts, who was the father of the Welsh Revival. And Evan Roberts prayed for a guy named Thomas Ball Barrett, who really initiated the Pentecostal church in Norway. And Barrett, a guy named Petros, met Barrett. And Barrett prayed for Petros. And Petros established the church in Stockholm, went to pastor the Seventh Baptist Church in Stockholm. And before long, he was relieved of his duties because he was involved in this new thing that was going on. There was this big challenge going on in Europe related to the church and the things that were going on. And all these, each step of the way, God was trying to get closer to his people. And then Petro started the Pentecostal church here in Sweden, the Philadelphia churches. And you know, my wife and I's first missions trip that we ever took was to the island of Jamaica in the Caribbean. And it was there that we actually met the influence of Swedish missionaries, because they were the first ones, Swedish missionaries were the first ones to get to that part of the Indies, and we were influenced by the Swedish missionary. I had never heard of the Philadelphia church before that, except for a guy named Sven Bjork, who came to our church when I was young. He was a singer, incredible singer, and he came and shared with us. And so I had heard the Philadelphia church, but I didn't know anything about it till we got to Jamaica, and there we were introduced to the Swedish Pentecostal movement in the Western Indies. But I want to get us to this scripture in Romans chapter 8. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now, this span of 500 years, the church has been through many, many different gyrations, and went from total control over us to complete freedom, to where now, if we accept Christ as our Savior, we have a new found freedom in Christ. Amen. Defining our fingerprint, defining the fact that we are unique, defining the idea that God wants to be close to us and walk with us. We can now walk with Him. But it says, the sinful mind, if we have the sinful mind, if we have the sinful mind, our mind is set on what the sinful mind desires. But if we have the Spirit, our minds are set on what the Spirit desires. So we get the choice. We get to choose what sort of mind we have. And if we choose the mind of Christ, if we choose to walk with God and allow His, excuse me, His uniqueness fill us to His glory, suddenly we gain a new power in Him, and we're able to accomplish the goals that He has set for us. And we can walk with Him, and we can be a part of what He has going on in our lives. We can apply the power of the Holy Spirit to our lives today. And He wants to use us for His glory. We see two minds at work. It says the sinful mind and the mind controlled by the Spirit. Now, we need to make an impact in our world today. And God has chosen His creation, His unique creation, each one of us, by the power of His Spirit to flow through us to make an impact in our world today. God gave us a fingerprint that no one else has. So we, on a personal level, make an impact in our world today, an impact that no one else can make. No one else can make the impact that I'm going to make on my world. Nor can anyone else duplicate or go the way that you're going to go in your life. God has a special route for you to take and wants to use you for His glory on planet Earth today. God is pouring out His Spirit in such a mighty way. And He is using His people, His church. Together we're a unit, but individually we are close to God. Scientifically, we are close to God. God has created us in His image, and He will use us if we allow Him to flow through us. Now, over the time span that we're talking about, today, the world is trying to force us back to what it was 500 years ago. I read this this week that 2 years ago, this happened in Sweden. The Lutheran Church redesigned the words to use in the liturgy to where there is no gender, it's gender neutral, to where there's nothing in the liturgy now indicates male or female. Because in our world today, we are facing some serious issues. Not recognize God's creation, driving us away from the personality, from the personableness of what God has for us. Because what does it say? In the beginning, God created us male and female. There are distinct genders. And there are numerous other areas that in our culture, in our world today, are pressing us away from how God created us, trying to press out the uniqueness that each one of us has. But do you know that by the power, if you read the Word of God, we discover that God wants to be close to us, and He wants to help us, and He wants us to duplicate His nature, not only in our lives, but to influence other people that are around us. And it's by the power of His Spirit that we, His people, can make an impact in our world today. God wants to use us. God wants to flow through us, and He's giving us His Spirit. And this is such a personal thing. His Spirit is personal to us. He wants us to know Him on a personal level. And He, in fact, has made it possible through His Son, Jesus, that we can be redeemed and we can know Him and we can walk with Him on a personal level. I wonder, is it possible, Michael, for us to sing that last song again that you sang?
You are holy?
Yeah. Can we sing that again? Is it possible for us to just sing the song again?
You are Lord.
Sing that chorus again. It says, in the courts where I belong, we belong in the courts of God. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
We just say on a personal level, we just say thank you, Lord, for letting me to be in your court. God, I thank you that you made it possible for us to be in your courts, be with you, to be in a personal relationship with you. Oh, God, we say thank you that we can be with you, that you counted us worthy to be with you, to be close to you. Now, I'm just wondering, is there a chance that you might be here today and say, boy, you talk about being close to God. I don't feel very close to God. You might be here today and you've never asked Christ in your life before. Maybe you've been to church, or maybe this is your very first time here, but you've never actually asked Christ into your life. You know, in order to be redeemed, we must receive the Redeemer. We must ask him to come into our life. He made it possible, but he says that we need to ask him by opening our mouth and asking him and believing in our heart that he died for our sins. And if you're here this morning, you know, this is such a powerful moment to be able to be close to God, to be able to receive what he's done for us, to ask him into our hearts. And I'm wondering, are you here today and you've never asked him into your life where you could be close to him? Would you just quickly lift your hand up and then put it right back down? Is there anyone here? You've never asked Christ into your life. Anyone? No, I don't see any hands. So it may be that every one of us here, but I want us we're going to sing this song again. And as we sing this, can we make this our prayer today? God, help me be close to you. Help me to be in your throne room. And Lord, may I not stray away from you. That this week, I'll stay close to you. This week, I'm going to walk as close to you as I possibly can. Let's sing it together. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are holy. us this week. That you will help us in every facet of life that we get ourselves into. That every step that we take, Lord, that your grace will go with us. And that you will be a part of us. And that you will help us with everything in our hearts, in our lives,
hallelujah,
this week.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God, we yield ourselves to your grace. And God, I pray that this will be a successful week as we walk close to you. Help us with our decisions. Lord, we include you in every decision that we make to the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking that you allow us, your people,
go
with our lives this week.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And God, may we make an impact on our world this week.
The palm of your hand, and I
Father, thank you for your promises to all of us. Thank you that you are telling us over and over again that if we fear you, we have nothing else to fear or no one else to fear. And Father, we thank you for all the blessing that we have been giving here today. We thank you for the preaching. We thank you for the worship music. And we thank you for the offering that I was giving today. So in Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. And we thank Tom very much. We thank Ewan and Michael. Give these two guys a hand as well. And now please stay for tea and coffee and rolls and fellowship. And also remember on Wednesday, 7 p.m. sharp, we have Bible studies. So God bless you and have a wonderful week. Amen.